Are you struggling with discouragement today? Or maybe your husband or wife or one of your kids is? Got a coworker that seems to be really down? Today I'm going to talk about the four causes of discouragement and God's specific remedy to each one. Stay with me.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. In this program, Chip shares four really helpful ways to overcome whatever discouragement you may be facing today. If you or someone you care about is facing a tough situation right now, well, this is a message that's going to give you real hope. After the teaching, Chip will be with us to share some specific next steps, so be sure to stay with us for that. Now let's join him for part two of his message, Facing Discouragement, from Nehemiah chapter 4.
You see four causes of discouragement. The first is a loss of strength. And just right next to that, the problem is fatigue. What's it say? It says, the strength of the laborers is giving out. You are vulnerable to get very discouraged, and sometimes the problem is you're just fatigued. It's too much. You're up early, you're up late, you're doing a lot, and you might even be doing a lot of the right thing. But you go and you go and you go and you go, and when you get tired and when you get fatigued and you get emotionally vulnerable, then you are prime for discouragement. That's why it's very counterintuitive to stop and take breaks. It's very counterintuitive to take care of yourself. It's very counterintuitive to stop and do some things that are renewing and fun when there's a lot to do. But if someone said, this journey's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And I will tell you, of all these, that's the one where I blow it the most. I try to do too much. I get really tired. I get overextended. And it's just predictable. Discouragement comes. And so are you ready for this? Is this like bizarre? I have to structure in and plan fun in my life. I mean, is that sick? I mean, okay, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm really going to have fun today. And so, I mean, I'm serious. Because part of it, I know that, you know, my workaholic tendencies, part of it is I know deep down where I've come from that there's this identity issue of my work and my performance has something to do with whether I'm okay. And even when I'm doing things for the right reason, that is always an Achilles heel. And so I've learned for me to, boy, it's really, really important to take a full day off. The second is loss of vision. Notice their focus. It says, look at all this rubble. I mean, you know that old thing about is the glass half full or half empty? I mean, now wait a second. The wall is halfway built. And now they're looking at, but look at all this junk. Man, look at all this junk. No. Look at how much progress you've made. But ask yourself, see, the issue here is your focus. Are you focused on what is wrong or are you focused on what's right? Third is a loss of confidence. The issue here is faith. Notice what they say here. We cannot rebuild the wall. Now, when there was nothing done, they said, let us arise and build. We can do it. They had faith. God's in it. The king's in it. The materials are here. Wow. Now that they're half done and, we can't do this. Some of you have made tremendous progress in areas and you're just thinking, I can't do this. I can't do this. Stop and look in the rearview mirror. And part of looking in the rearview mirror, I'll show you a little tool I have is I started keeping journals in college because I'm so prone to see what needs to get done. And all the time, you know what? When you live off a to-do list, man, you get 20 things done, you wake up the next day and there's 24. I'm telling you, that's discouraging. So I just learned to, I started with writing things down and I would write down what God has done. And when I start to get discouraged, I look back and I begin to say, well, that got done. God did that. That was a prayer for a year. That did. And when you look back, you get confidence because the God who was faithful yesterday and last month, and you start reliving and telling stories. I mean, all of a sudden I realize God's big. But where's your focus? Where's your faith? And then fourth is a loss of security. You notice that you've got the Jews, you've got the enemies, and the key issue here is fear. You never know when it's going to happen. But the word is, When you're not looking, the economy's going to go down again. You'll never find another job. Your wife's going to leave you because you can't provide. Your kids are going to hate you and think you're a nobody. This will never, right? Fear. Fear, fear. What if? What about? What if? What about? If so, what? And fear is always projecting into the future. And hypothetical grace does not exist. God is not in tomorrow. Every need. Sometimes I've had times in my life where we've had absolutely no money, and all we had was a roof and some food to eat for a couple days. And I had to go back to, what did God promise? A roof, protection, and food for the day. Biblically, if you have food for tomorrow, you're rich. And all of a sudden, we get totally, our today gets completely ruined because my 401k wasn't what it was supposed to, and I had this plan. I was going to retire it this year, and I can't retire it this year, and I might have to work and have like 6 or 8 or 10 more years of productivity and life and joy, and I certainly don't want to do that because I've been brainwashed to think that when you get 60-something, I deserve a break today, just like the McDonald's kids, and so I want to have a break today, and I don't want to keep working. I might have to work longer, and you know, I had all that money saved up. It was just on paper. It was just on numbers, and when the numbers came in, it made me very happy. When they went down, it made me very, very sad. Of course, my security's in Jesus and not in money. Of course not, except for when all the money goes. Jesus doesn't seem very big, and right? Loss of strength, loss of vision, loss of confidence, loss of security. Okay, Nehemiah, help us. Blaze the trail, brother, because we need help. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families. So, okay, where are we vulnerable? Get people there, get them with people that they are really going to give their lives for, with swords and spears and bows. Evaluation. After I looked things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Why? Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Where's your focus? Where's your faith? Let's see now. He spoke and the entire universe came into existence, but he couldn't protect you, right? He spoke and the world came into existence, but he can't meet the need that you're wrestling with. No. He's awesome. And then action, fight for your brothers and your sons, your daughters and your wives and your homes. There's a lot at stake. No time for a pity party. Step up. I mean, this is like the greatest coach in the world spiritually calling the team together and saying, okay, action plan. Here's where we're vulnerable. Here, 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 and here. You guys get there. Let's get in teams. Let's get in families. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work. Did you notice this guy just won't quit? He just keeps pressing ahead. He just won't quit. He won't get distracted. He won't get detracted. And so now they're back on the wall. From that day on, half of my men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears and shields and bows and armor. The officers posted themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried the materials did the work with one hand and held a weapon with the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed by me. Then I said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and it's spread out. We're widely separated from one another along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us here. Our God will fight for us. Do you hear? He's got a strategy. He's got a plan. We're spread out. We may be vulnerable. The guy with the trumpet's with me. When you hear it, we're going to gather together. We're not going down, people. God's bigger than this. We're going to fight. So we continued the work, verse 21, with half the men holding the spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time also I said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem. Notice the paradigm changes. He has a different plan. The last plan was okay, but the situation's different. Sometimes adversity causes us to think, oh, we were doing this. Now there's a problem. Maybe we need to do it different. So he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. Everyone who's working, nobody goes home anymore. We're going to have a slumber party inside Jerusalem. Everybody gets to come. Every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. And then here's the deal, especially if you're in any kind of influential position. If you're a single parent, your kids look to you. If you're the man of the house, people look to you. If you're involved in ministry, people look to you. Listen and to what Nehemiah does. Neither I nor my brothers nor my men nor the guards with me took off their clothes. Each had his weapon even when he went for water. You hear what he's saying? It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. We're going to step up. God's big. We're going to make it. And by the way, there are seasons when you get up at the crack of dawn and you go to bed when it's dark. You can't live that way all the time, but under pressure, under stress, you say, we're all in, and whatever it takes, we're going to do it. So much so, he models, we didn't even take our clothes off. At the end of the day, my sword's here, I put a little wash on my face, get a little food, and we're not going to stop until we get this thing done. 52 days, an engineering miracle. I had a friend who was in charge of all the engineers of this large company from one side of the Mississippi to the other half of America, and he told me he studied this extensively, and he was very kind of, you know, people that are like real detail-oriented and figured out how big the wall was and what kind of things they had to do. He says, absolute miracle. Absolute miracle what occurred. Four resources that I've pulled out of this text that have been helpful to me. One, be proactive. You might jot next to that, get moving, all right? Get moving. James 2:17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. They pray, they act. They pray, they act. Second is remember who's for you. Get perspective. Just remember who God really is. What Mary, a little teenage girl, said, what? When the angel's speaking to her with God, nothing is impossible, Luke 1:37. I mean, let that sink in, okay? Don't just write, oh yeah, I gotta get that down on my notes. Get it in your heart. With God, nothing's impossible that you're facing right now. Do you believe it or not? Are you come to him saying, God, this is impossible. Will you intervene? I'll do whatever. Will you intervene? He'll show up. One, be proactive. Remember who God is. Then fight. And then the next two words are hard. Fight, fight. This is when you face discouragement, we cave. We start feeling like, I'm a victim. Why? Poor, me. And it's death. It's like the gray mist of discouragement comes in and you start asking those questions and it just turns dark and black. And you gotta fight. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's stored up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only me, but all those who've longed for his appearing. The reason he fought was perspective. I'm hanging tough. I'm hanging in. I'm not gonna opt out. I know that, you know what? There is a reward for me. Jesus is going to be enough. And I bet if we interviewed the Apostle Paul in prison half that time, how's this going to work out, Paul? I think he'd say, I don't have a clue. I think if you said, Paul, do you ever get discouraged? He'd look at you like, duh. Are you kidding me? Well, so are you going to give up? Duh, no way. There was something, a fiber, and part of the capacity of the Apostle Paul was forged and formed and birthed because of what he went through. And you are now the proud possessor of 13 books because his adversity kept him in prison most of the time. And his life, here's a guy who writes about joy to a Philippian church. Why he's in chains. Finally, never fight alone. Get connected. Hebrews 3:13. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. If you just want two words to get you focused, okay, discouragement's coming on. Number one, get moving. Number two, get perspective. Number three, get mad. Fight. You gotta get mad. Because if you don't get mad, you'll feel sorry for yourself. I'm not gonna let this happen. I'm not gonna let this attitude happen. I'm not gonna let this loss of a job make me feel like I'm not a man, not a woman. I'm not gonna allow this person who said those things determine my future. Just because they said I can't get in that school, there's a lot of schools. I'll tell you what, fight. And part of it, you need to get mad and say, this is who I am. God, are you for me? Give me strength, give me direction. And then the last one is you get connected. Before I go over there, I just want to read this quote because this quote for me is just, in a mysterious way, our troubles allow us to discover and develop reservoirs of strength and perseverance that most of us don't realize we have. When we lean on the Lord, he actually uses our struggles to expand our ability to deal with them. It's a process that leads us to greater hope and deeper faith. In terms of being proactive, as soon as I feel discouragement coming on, here's a few things practical. One, write a note to someone. Something I often do immediately, get a workout. Those endorphins actually work. Do you feel like working out? Of course not. You don't feel, go get a workout. Help someone. Take a walk. Make a phone call. Sing. But you have to do something to move you in the right direction. Sometimes too, you know, are you ready? Like, have some fun. It doesn't feel very spiritual. When you're discouraged, have some fun. Whatever makes fun for you, I mean, limited, moral, right, good things that make fun, you got. But do something, because a lot of times you're right on that edge. Another thing I do is I'll put on worship music, and I'll just stick my headphones on and find some place, and I don't feel like singing, but I just sing. The second thing there is remember who God is. These are journals. I probably have 50 or 80 of them, I don't know. But what I'll do is I need to remember who God is. Psalm 103 says, "Do not forget the works of the Lord." When you remember his works, it will cause you to remember his worth. Remembering his works and what he did will lead you to who he is. And so sometimes I'll pick them up, I'll just start reading them. And I'll think, oh, wow, that's right, I forgot my son was in ICU back then. And boy, we were really having big struggles in our marriage back then. And I'll just start reading them. Another thing I do is I'll pick up a classic book, J.I. Packard, Knowing God. And you can almost open it anywhere. Or in my briefcase, I always keep A.W. Tozer. And I just start reading about the goodness of God or the sovereignty of God or the omniscience of God. What I know is I got to remember who God is. Or I'll take my little thing, Ken Boa has a little thing called Handbook to Prayer. And in it, he just prays scripture prayer back to God. And I often start with, God, I don't really feel like doing this. And I do it out loud. And I begin to pray these prayers out loud back to God. And what I find is the discouragement begins to dissipate because, one, I'm getting perspective. Two, I'm getting renewed instead of being fatigued. And then fight, fight, fight. On this one, all I can say is, I just often have to call someone that I know and say, I'm really struggling right now. I need someone to fight with me. And here's what it is. And here's why I think. And that's where you have to get connected. You just got to find someone somewhere who you can be honest with, share with, they accept you as you are. You need to have a special friend or two that you can just open your heart and know that they're not going to judge you. Because the enemy wants to keep your discouragement or what you're discouraged about or this secret that you have as this thing and bombard you forever and ever and ever and make you feel like you don't measure up, you'll never change, nothing's ever gonna happen. God, we long to obey what you've said. We wanna be proactive. We wanna remember who you are. We need this fire that you can put inside of us where we will fight instead of faint. And Lord, we need one another. And so in the name of the one who spoke and the world came into existence, and in the name of the one who holds all things together by the word of his power, and in the name of the one who died for our sin and rose from the dead, and in the name of the one who caused your spirit to dwell inside of us as down payment for our own salvation, I ask you to bring breakthroughs in people's lives and healing and hope in Jesus' name.
Chip will be right back. But just quickly, this message, Facing Discouragement, is from his series, Keep Pressing Ahead. Using key chapters from the book of Nehemiah, Chip explains the truth about adversity, where it comes from, what to do when it threatens to bring you down, and then how to keep pressing ahead no matter what. Scripture calls Christians overcomers, but for many of us, that just sounds like religious talk. Life's been too hard or too painful, and we don't see how it's possible to rise above our circumstances. Well, Chip reminds us, with God, nothing is impossible. Whether your adversity comes from circumstances, people, or even yourself, with this series, you'll be encouraged to remember there's always hope. To check out your resource options for Keep Pressing Ahead, just go to livingontheedge.org or tap Special Offers. Discounts are available for a limited time. Well, Chip, what was the secret to Nehemiah being able to help this group that was very discouraged and facing huge adversity to press ahead, to really turn things around? What do you see was the real secret to his success?
Well, Dave, obviously, there was the hand of God on him. He's a godly man, but I think there's a key here, and I think it's affirmation. I think all they could see was how much of the walls had fallen down, and he helped him see how much of the walls were getting built up. All they could see was all the adversity of all the people around them, and all he could tell them was about the affirmation of a king and answered prayers and a new work that God wanted to do. And so I think affirmation is going to be a key for those of us pressing ahead and coming through what we've been through in recent days. And whether that's a relational fallout, a job loss, economic disaster, discouragement, we need to be able to affirm things that are true, that anchor our hope, not in how we see ourselves, not how others see us, or not even how the world tells us things are, but we need to see ourselves first and foremost by how God sees us, that we're valued, wanted, that he's not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. And so we've created a resource that is called Affirmation Cards. And it takes the lies that we tend to believe as people, lies about ourselves, lies about the future, lies about all kind of things that bring about us looking at the walls that are half built or the rubble that's everywhere. And instead, it helps us affirm, this is who God is, this is who we are in Christ, this is what he says, and this is what's true of us. Therefore, it's in that that we begin to act. We act on the affirmation and the truth of God's word. And I would just encourage you to get a set of these affirmation cards. Some of the cards actually are geared very specifically because my wife taught me to use these first. But I will tell you, men, even though I've given them as gifts to women and women tend to really like them, for 2 years, I reviewed these with my wife at a time when our marriage was in big trouble and our finances were in big trouble and we were deeply discouraged. And these cards helped me see who I was in Christ. And it was through these truths that I can look back and say, thank you, God. We built on those, and we more than made it through.
Great encouragement. Thanks, Chip. Well, our affirmation cards are a great tool that can help you, too. They'll provide a solid anchor for hope, because they're the truth from God's Word about who you are in Christ. This attractive set of hard stock cards is an effective way to renew your mind with Scripture. Now, to preview our affirmation cards online and take advantage of free shipping, just go to livingontheedge.org. Order your set today and maybe get a second set to give to a friend or to send as a gift. Affirmation cards, you'll find them at livingontheedge.org, special offers, or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003.
As we close today's program and as we wrap up this message on facing discouragement, I want to go over the four very specific resources God has given us when you start feeling discouraged or when you're right in the thick of it. The first was be proactive. Do not sit around. I mean, get moving. Do something positive. Get a workout. Take a walk. Write a note. Do something positive. The second is remember who is for you. With God, nothing is impossible. Discouragement starts really creeping down at the very depths of your soul and causes you to give up when you start thinking, this is the way it is, and it's never going to change. That's just not true. God is the God who created and spoke the universe into existence, and he cares about you. He parted the Red Sea, and he can part your Red Sea. You got to remember who is for you. Third, fight, fight, fight. I just so fall into becoming a victim. As I was sharing just even in our last broadcast a couple days ago, I really, in the middle of the afternoon, started getting really discouraged. And I started, you know, all these thoughts about, you know, this isn't working out and that's not working out and I haven't been very disciplined in this. And, you know, the condemnation, I'm down on me. And then after I got down on me, I started blaming other people in my mind. And then I just realized I need to fight. This is the enemy trying to take me down. And I just needed to get mad. And I remember Teresa looking at me and saying, you know, she asked those kind questions at first. And then finally I said, you know, honey, I just think I'm struggling. I'm going to go out to the garage right now. I'm going to get a workout, and I'm going to pray out loud. And that's what I did. And you know what? 30 minutes later, I was a new person. But you got to fight. Don't sink. You got to fight. And then finally, never fight alone. For some of you, the will of God is to text a friend and say, I'm discouraged. Can we meet? Can we have coffee? Or to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm really struggling today. Could we just pray out loud on the phone for 1 minute? Reach out and ask for help. And by the way, if you know someone who's discouraged, God's will for you today may be you email them, you text them, you call them, and don't solve their problem. Just say, I sensed you were down. And then do this. Maybe you've never done it before. Could I pray for you right now? Could I just pray for you right now? And you will see the power of God come into human relationships. God bless you, and keep pressing ahead.
At Living on the Edge, we're happy to let you know about an easy way to listen to our extended teaching podcast. Hear Chip anytime on Amazon's Alexa Echo and Echo Dot. Just say, Alexa, enable the Chip Ingram podcast. Once Alexa's enabled with that skill, all you need to say is, Alexa, play the Chip Ingram podcast. You'll hear that day's extended teaching anytime you want. Well, be sure to join us again next time as Chip continues his series, Keep Pressing Ahead. Until then, for all of us here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.